Okay, we are back on tape, and let's talk about teaching them, because that's the other, can be the other big time sink for PIs. Actually, it's usually a little less in medical schools than if you're in basic sciences. So how much do you teach?
Right, that's one of the perks of being a clinical department. Mm-hmm. I have no, you know, real teaching responsibilities. And in theory, that's why they don't pay my salary. But because I'm very involved with the basic departments, and particularly with cell biology graduate program, I teach, you know, a couple of lectures for them a year. I give a couple of grand rounds in neurology a year. But it's really not much. I don't really like teaching in a class setup. I like mentoring, you know, graduate students, one-on-one kind of situation. But I don't like lecturing much. It's stressful to me to give lectures, both classes or general lectures in my field. They're always stressful to me. So it's not something I look forward to.
So for you, it's good that you don't really have to do too much of it.
Yes, it's very good.
Mm-hmm. How do the students, well, actually, before I ask you that, do you do any teaching in the med school at all?
To medical students?
Yeah.
Once in a while, not in a regular basis.
Okay.
Sometimes in the neurology part, I'll talk about neuromuscular disease a little bit.
Since you don't do a lot of teaching, I don't know if you're going to actually be able to answer this, but let's try. How do students here, American students, compare to students in Brazil?
Well, if we're talking about medical students, I think the ones here are pretty exceptional. They're very good. To be accepted in medical schools, they have to be very good. I mean, that's also true in Brazil. To be accepted into a good medical school, you have to be at the top. One thing that we discussed earlier is the fact that here there's a lot of pressure for you to keep doing an outstanding job. And maybe that pressure is not there in Brazil. So that's one difference I see. In terms of graduate students, it's a little harder for me to compare, but from what I remember from when I was there, most graduate students in the school I was, they were very motivated. And maybe because of the more limited resources, they were quite resourceful also in trying to adapt things and maybe make a machine, make a device or something like that. It's really hard to compare. I don't know if I see this here or I don't. My impression, first impression, that they're not as resourceful, the ones that are getting accepted. But the graduate students really depend a lot on the institution. You know, if it's a more famous program, the students, I'm sure they're going to be outstanding. Here at the University of Miami, I don't think we get top students. And within the university, there are some programs that are more powerful than others. And cell biology, that's the one I'm more involved with, is not a very big department. And the program is relatively small. So students are good, maybe not exceptional.
Okay. What about... when you were talking about who was in your lab, it sounded like you had a kind of an even split between men and women. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Pretty even. Okay.
It changed quite a bit.
Right.
But yeah.
That seems to be pretty much the case nowadays. That there's an even split. That split is not, however, apparent in the at the faculty level in most places. What does the faculty look like here?
Well, in neurology, there is definitely more men than women at research in neurology. Maybe it's a little bit more women. But in the faculty in general, I mean, I could get these numbers probably. But I'm sure it reflects the rest of the United States that women are underrepresented. Now, I'm not sure why. And I'm not sure if that's not changing now, because I see people coming in right now, they seem to be more evenly split. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a trend that's already changed.
How about, and I realize that everyone in your lab is from another country, but in the graduate school, medical school in general, especially in a place like Miami, what's the breakdown ethnically, I mean, in terms of Caucasians versus Hispanics versus African Americans?
In Miami, I think African Americans are really underrepresented in academia. Hispanics, there are lots of Hispanics. Lots of Cubans in Miami, and lots of Cubans working at the university. Now, at the graduate student level and faculty level, I don't think they are as represented as in other jobs. I may be wrong, though. But, you know, the Hispanic representation is very high in Miami, at all levels, the physicians. Even the faculty, I think, it's overrepresented when you compare it to other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Now, there are lots of, you know, Anglos also, particularly in the faculty, and maybe they are overrepresented if you compare with the general population. Mm-hmm. But that's my impression. Mm-hmm. Which other group did you ask me about?
African Americans and Hispanics. Yeah, the American minorities, if you will, although I think the Hispanics are not a minority.
Not here, yeah. Yeah, the African Americans, I think they're underrepresented here in Miami. Mm-hmm. At the graduate student up to faculty level.
Mm-hmm. How about in the med school? Because in a lot of places, they're represented in proportion to their percent of the population pretty well in medical schools, but not in graduate schools. How is it here?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
Tell the truth.
Okay. All right. So, you just said that a few minutes ago that you don't actually know what you do during the day, but if you can, try to take me through a typical day in the life of Carlos Moraes.
Well, maybe one of the good things about this job is that we don't have a typical day. Yeah.
But I mean, let's right. start in the morning. I know that you take your child to daycare because...
Yeah, so that's how I start. I take my daughter to child care, daycare.
Do you take care of her in the morning or help her get ready, or is that Julia's job?
Only if we're in a rush.
Okay.
Now that Julia is working on and off, I'm kind of, slacking off a little bit in the house duties.
Okay.
But no, usually Julia prepares her and she's ready to go, and I'll just bring her and drop her at the daycare.
So you get up about what time?
I get up about 7:30.
Okay.
But I take a huge amount of time just trying to get myself together, read the paper,
okay,
have breakfast, go to the bathroom, have a shower. Take a shower that's usually long. It's like...
Well, soon it's going to be very short because of the water shortage here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you watched American Beauty?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the high point of the day, not because I'm masturbating, but because it's a time of relaxation and I can actually think about experiments and things like this. So my shower is a high point of the day. It's downhill from there. And So, but then I leave home usually a little bit before 9. At least twice a week I'll have a meeting at 9:30, so I have to be here at 9:30. Mm-hmm. But that's the time usually I get here a little before 9:30. And what do I first do, what everybody does, check email. And answer all the emails I have. I look at my calendar and see what kind of wonderful things I have to do during the day. Mm-hmm. And when there is nothing written, I'm just pure joy. But you know, there are not many days that are empty. Mm-hmm. And then I just try to struggle with my priorities, whatever is the deadline coming up first. If I have, you know, to review grants, that I'm, if I have plenty of time, I try to do it in the evenings at home. But usually, you know, when the deadline gets closer, I have to do it in the lab. So I have all these little things that I mentioned before that I have to take care. Mm-hmm. So then I'll try to talk to someone in the lab that I know the experiments are either not working or having a problem, or so I try to discuss and see what's happening, or someone that did an experiment that I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. So I do go talk to people or ask people to come to my office. Usually I try to go to the lab. Mm-hmm. I look at, you know, cell culture, see how they look, but other people's experiments. And you know, immediately little things, little problems occur, like we have to order this that broke. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a manager in the lab that will take care of all this basic infrastructure. People would order things for research, but if it's something different, mm-hmm. then usually I take care of. That's something I have to learn to delegate also. What else? Then if I have time, I'll write either paper or review, whatever I have to do, or a grant, if that's calling for. So my day is very chaotic. I'm not very organized. Mm-hmm. So around 1:30, I take a break for lunch. I have lunch with some friends from another building. We just go out and eat. And usually I listen to their problems because they like to talk more than I do. And go back and do more of the same. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some experiments that I have to do together with people, go to the microscope. I'm associated with many things with other people in different departments, different groups. Mm-hmm. So, you know, test a new microscope. They want me to ask to write a piece of a shared equipment grant that I have to write. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to tell what mm-hmm. I do in a typical mm-hmm. day because there are all these little things.
Right,
yeah. As a friend of mine would call chicken shit that you have to do. At the end of the day, you don't know how you spent the day.
Yeah, yeah. So what time do you wrap it up usually?
Well, usually my most productive time is after 4:30.
Oh.
So okay. Usually I get on a roll either writing or doing something. And I go up to 7. And I stop because I have to go home and see Julia and Emily. But that's definitely my most productive time mm-hmm. because people left. Mm-hmm. They don't come, you know, knock at my door.
Mm-hmm.
And I get things done.
Okay. So you go home at 7, and you have dinner with family.
We go home at 7. We have dinner. We, you know, we cook whatever is fast. And Julia's not, you know, your typical housewife. She doesn't like to do any of those. She likes to cook, but she destroys the kitchen when she cooks. So I'd rather that she doesn't. So usually we, you know, and now she's more concerned with Emily, so she'll prepare something for Emily. But she'll cook. Now that she's working less, she actually is preparing food almost every day, even if it's an improvisation meal. Mm-hmm. When she was working full-time, I would cook most of the time.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
but something fast also, pasta or whatever.
Okay.
And after that, some time with Emily, Julia will go take a bath, in the bathtub with Emily, and maybe that's the time I have to be by myself. And I'll either read something I have to, or watch a little bit of TV, because someone told me that when you watch TV, you spend 15% less energy than if you're doing nothing. So that's, it's a good time to relax, I guess.
Okay.
And then they'll go to bed around 9:30, 10, and I'll stay up again, either reading something related to work or as a zombie watching TV, just trying to relax a little bit. Or I'll be reading some windsurfing magazine or something like that when they come. And that's pretty much my day.
And you go to sleep what time?
Around 11:30.
Okay. How about the weekends? Do you work on the weekends? Or?
Yeah, I used to. Mm-hmm. But since Emily was born, I'm not working during the weekends. So when I'm doing experiments, mm-hmm. I usually pass by because I have cells growing, I have to feed them. Or if someone in the lab's traveling, I pick up the slack by keeping the cells growing for this person. But I'm coming, these days I'm coming much less often than I used to.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things, I mean, I know you windsurf, but what?
Well, this one, I pretty much spend time with Emily and Judy.
Uh-huh.
And do things for the house. Mm-hmm. Go buy this, go fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And take Emily to the playground, mm-hmm. to the beach, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Okay. So how often do you get to windsurf?
Not often enough.
Not often enough.
Whenever it's windy. And for Miami, that's not very frequent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how often do we have a windy weekend? It's even worse.
Mm.
But summertime there is absolutely no wind. So from May to September, I don't windsurf at all, unless there's a hurricane.
Oh, but you don't want to windsurf in a hurricane,
well,
do you?
You do.
You've done that? Oh gosh.
Usually they just brush by.
Yeah.
So then during fall, winter, spring, then you have better chances and go a little bit more often. Usually I go with a professor in physiology.
Oh.
That's a guy that's older than me. He's like 50-something. Has very old equipment. He refuses to buy newer stuff. But we go together. And it's really, a great relaxation for me. To be, not only the physical activity, but to be dealing with water and air and, base earth elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And to be out there when the sun is setting,
mm-hmm.
it's just renews
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready to work hard again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really my stress management
mm-hmm.
these days. Now, before I had Emily, I used to work out quite a lot with a partner that's faculty neurology also. So 3 to 4 times a week would go to the gym at the university and jog and do weights. I was in great shape, and that was 18 months ago, the last time I went.
Yeah.
That was a good stress management thing also, because we would talk a lot, would exercise our tongues almost as much.
Mm-hmm.
But doing physical activity,
mm-hmm.
I miss it because of the stress management and
mm-hmm.
the feeling of being more
mm-hmm.
fit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, having a baby changes a lot.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the questions that I have, I didn't ask you this, but one of the questions I ask sometimes is, why aren't women more represented on faculties? So, actually, Well, let me ask you that, and then I'll go back to this other question. Is there, do you have any thoughts about why women are not?
Well, definitely motherhood would make it very hard, mm-hmm. because the system does not catch much slack for time off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do know several women that have kids, or maybe one kid, and can still remain very active in research. But I really admire them because, you know, the husband might help a lot, but still the heaviest load will always be on the mother, at least the first 2 years, mm-hmm. or a year and a half, I guess. So I understand how, you know, they'll be less competitive if they have kids, mm-hmm. just because, you know, the system doesn't really care. Mm-hmm. I think a higher number of women would enter graduate school. It's just that would not progress. I mean, the percentages do not reflect later on. So the reason for that, I can just think of, you know, maybe a lot of women would still follow their husbands. And, you know, that maybe the husband's career would take priority and they'll have to adopt. I think that still happens a lot.
Adopt or adapt?
Adopt.
Adapt, okay.
Maybe some would just get discouraged by the cutthroat system, mm-hmm. the competition, and, you know, once they have a kid, I think the life perspective might change, mm-hmm. and say, you know, that's not really what I want to do. I'm saying this by observing Julia, how she changed, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of career goals, mm-hmm. before and after having a kid. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty dramatic change, mm-hmm. that, you know, I think will happen more often with women than with men, just because it's instinctive and hormonal, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I asked that question when I asked it is that your work life changed when you had a child also. Do you think, or what kind of an impact, if any, has that had on your career?
Well, I think if I work more efficiently, there will be no impact. Neither positive or negative, mm-hmm. I think. But I definitely will have to improve my organizational skills and efficiency so that I can, you know, mm-hmm. keep working, mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. But I'm still in transition. Uh-huh. See, I'm not putting as many hours, but I still have that completely disorganized way of running the lab. That, you know, it makes hard, uh-huh. to be as efficient.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I think this might be a good place to stop.
Okay.
So we'll pick it up tomorrow.